Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, Sansa level wackadoo.
Gundam style.
One guy had to be Voltron's ass.
Bye-bye, moist pony.
Beware the moustache.
Good old Steve, what's his name?
Teenage dirtbags took my candy.
A cigarette in every orifice.
You're out of order. This whole filming is out of order.
Fentanyl candy, you know, for kids.
Whole lot of Uma in the face.
Poop a brick in the wrong direction.
Utah hoo-has.
Punished bots with Bill.
Undercover mustache with Bobby, and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
First official gig was Runaway Train. 320 a day. I'll never forget that. 320 a day. This is more money than I ever made in a robbery. Right there, I said, shit, I'm gonna be an actor.
No?
The Morning Stream.
Steady as she goes. Number two.
Good morning and welcome back to TMS. It is Tuesday, November 1st, 2022. I'm Scott and that's Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Hello, Scott. Hello.
Hey, so my daughter left. She left.
Yeah. Aww.
It was a sad morning. It was hard. It was difficult.
Sure was.
Yeah. But, you know, she's just around a lot and we hang out all the time and we collaborate all the time. And so it's only 2 months, but it feels like longer. And, you know, she'll do fine. She's very excited. She's on her way to Iceland, for those who aren't aware. Heading there for a two-month art residency in Iceland.
So exciting. I mean, yeah. That is such a cool, what a cool experience that is going to be, right?
I mean, holy cow. I hope so. I just want to make sure. I want her to have, like, cool people there, you know?
Like, sure.
I don't want her to get there and end up with a bunch of freaking Euro snobs who don't want to hang out or just weird about Americans or something. I don't know why.
That's what we always want for our children, basically.
Yeah, that's basically true.
We don't want them to be around the bad people.
Yeah, I don't want buttholes at this thing. And they shouldn't be. They should all be fine. I don't know what a Euro snob is. Chad, I'm not going to explain it. I don't know. I don't know what I even mean.
Euro snob. Oh, come on. If you people out there, you don't know what Euro snob is, like what movie should we direct them to?
Yeah.
The Saturday Night Live uni. No, it's pronounced uni. No, it's pronounced uni. The Fred Armisen character. That is that's the definition of Euro snob.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, sometimes people like to throw all Americans into one category. And she is definitely not one of those. So just be nice to her. Okay, Iceland. I know you're all see-through and transparent and all that. I just like the Finnish. And I love you for it, you know.
That'll help. That'll definitely... So let's start by, you know.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and throw shade at their weird white skin. And,
right, exactly. That's a good way. Good way to begin.
Their elven heritage.
Reaching across the aisle.
Yeah. Anyway, she'll do fine.
She'll be great.
She's good.
She'll be just fine.
We had Halloween. She hung out. We hung out last night, had fun, passed out candy.
Cool. Watched, did you do the Santa?
I did for Van, just for Van, only temporarily because I didn't want to do it the rest of the night because I was like, I'm not wearing this stupid Santa costume.
Hot costume, I'm sure.
Well, that and just it's dumb. It's Santa Claus. I'll do it for him, but not for anybody else. And so he shows up in his Santa outfit and he has little fake gifts with him and he's got the full beard and the hat and everything. Mm-hmm. And he just is convinced that that's as good a Halloween costume as anything else he could have chosen. So... it's fine. I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. You'd be Santa Claus. You'd be whatever you want. You're 3 years old. You get to choose. But he did say, we were talking about, we had a little fire pit going and we're making marshmallow, s'mores.
Yep.
The reason I say s'more is because somebody, Nick or somebody in the background goes, piping hot schmoes Toy Story, right? Toy Story, I think it was, and it was.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
I think it was Buzz Lightyear said, "Gather around the fire for some piping hot schmoes," and he's got it wrong. And Woody corrects him and tells him it's not schmoes. Anyway,
yeah,
he says that, and then Van says
schmo,
and now that's all he wants to talk about is schmoes. He wants to say schmo.
So Nick's a schmo.
Nick's a schmo. He's a complete schmo. I'd say to him, hey, what do you think of your Uncle Nick?
Schmo?
Yeah. And we say yes, because he kind of answers it. He kind of says it in a questioning kind of tone.
Yeah.
Schmo?
Like he's not sure.
Schmo?
Schmo? It's like, yep, that guy's a schmo. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. We're all good now. I didn't eat any candy, so props to me for just avoiding it. Kim gave out like huge, giant candy bars, and we saw like... I don't know. It felt like, Brian, we saw like maybe four little kids.
Yeah.
But a ton of teenagers that were all very nice and respectful. But for some reason, it felt like those were the kids who didn't get Halloween for 2 years because of COVID reasons.
Yeah.
And now we're like, well, we're taking Halloween back because there were hardly any little ones and tons of older kids. It was really weird, I thought. What was your experience there at the household?
We ended up with maybe about 75 kids, and I would say it was probably half and half. But we had quite a few last year too. Definitely not up to like 2018 or 2019 levels, but you know, like you said, about 75 kids, about 20 clusters of three or four kids each, and
they always come in packs like that, right? That's always
they do. Deal. Yeah, exactly. Travel for safety.
Yeah.
To keep from getting their bag snatched.
Right.
Basically by bigger teenagers who don't even want to do the bothering of going trick or treating.
Or getting their fentanyl Snickers or whatever fear mongering is going on right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Had my Deadpool head in full effect, lit up and chatting with everybody as they came by, doing his Ryan Reynolds thing.
Nice. Did we determine? I think I asked you this last year. Is it his voice?
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
It certainly sounds like there are times it's like, oh, that definitely sounds like Ryan Reynolds. And then there are other times it's like, maybe that's Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe he came in and recorded a few things, like some of the more common phrases that it utters. And then other times for other ones, they just had somebody come in and do fill in kind of stuff.
Well, I made Kim watch. I didn't make her. She chose. She watched Barbarian with me. And
nice.
Okay. We watched it kind of late, and I've never heard so many nopes come out of her mouth. A lot of nopes.
Really?
Yeah. Like when she go, you know, the parts in the hallways and then deeper into the basement and all that?
Oh, yes, yes.
She's like, no, nope, nope, she kept saying. I'm like, well, wait till you see what's down there, babe. It's all going to get better from here.
So,
I liked it more the second time.
She said nope a lot, but she didn't... didn't leave, get up and say, I'm done with this.
No, she really liked it. By the end of it, she was like, that was a really good one of these. And she doesn't love horror movies, but she's like, I think she saw what I was seeing in it, which is it's something extra. It's not your usual fare. It doesn't rely on tropes stuff you can predict or whatever. I just never quite knew where this thing was going. And she goes, was that really Justin Long? I'm like, yeah, all right.
It's hard not to recognize him as Justin Long.
I agree, but he's so different in this compared to anything else.
It's such a different character for him,
I've never seen him be such an ass in anything before.
Butthole.
It's great. Watch it, even if it's not Halloween, everybody. Get that going.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You can watch scary things all year round, like Werewolf by Night or Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah. Did you finish that?
Now, you know what I watch? All right. I'm not going to use it for recommendals.
All right.
Because I've got something I liked a lot more than this. That said, I'm surprised at how much I freaking liked a movie on Netflix that certainly isn't targeted towards me.
Yeah.
But it had a good Rotten Tomatoes score, so I'm like, all right. I don't mind falling asleep if I watch this, because it was middle of the night. I woke up. I couldn't get back to sleep, so I left the bedroom. Thank you, Wendy. Went on the couch and watched that, too.
I'm glad to hear that, because I've been trying to do that as well, instead of staying there or being tempted to, like, watch it. Just, you know, I got my iPad here. I'll just watch it here. And I'm like, no. Wendy's watching. Exactly. She's ever watching. Yes. The eye of Wendy is over.
She says
us.
There's only two things in the bedroom, and that's sleep and love, yep. Boat.
Yep. Yeah. Coitus. Anyway.
Exactly. So I watched a movie called Do Revenge on Netflix. And this is your, you know, every generation needs their Strangers on a Train, their Alfred Hitchcock Strangers on a Train.
Sure.
We had it with Throw Mama from the Train. That was our generation's Strangers on a Train. It's basically the same kind of thing, right? Yep. You need to get revenge on your group. I need to get revenge on my group. But why don't we swap so that, you know, we have an alibi. We won't get busted. And there's no connection with each of our groups to the person that people are getting revenge on. Right. And it's got the woman who plays Robin on Stranger Things. She's the daughter of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. And I didn't realize that until after the last season of Stranger Things that I watched. And I said, oh my God, that absolutely is what you'd get if you mashed their faces together. You'd get, yeah, Maya Hawke.
I didn't even know those two were together. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I had no idea. Yeah, Attica or whatever? Has it been that long and I just didn't know about it?
I think so. I think, you know, it was a quieter thing because we knew about Uma Thurman and wasn't she with Tarantino for a while?
Maybe. Maybe he just had her feet for a while. I don't remember what the deal was.
Yeah. And then it has the gal who plays Veronica on Riverdale. Not that I've ever seen it, but...
It's got Austin Abrams in it. He's a good Euphoria actor. I like that kid.
Yes. Oh, and he plays a dickhead.
Oh, really? Because he plays a nice guy on Euphoria.
and we finally gotten to the point where Sarah Michelle Gellar is playing a headmaster at a school instead of playing a teenager or a young adult or, you know, like...
Finally. Did you mention Sophie Turner, I guess, is in this?
Sophie Turner is in this, and she plays a wackadoo. Maybe not Sansa-level wackadoo, but definitely wackadoo.
Mm.
Anyway, it's that formula. It's basically, it feels like Mean Girls and 10 Things I Hate About You and all and Clueless. And there it feels like there's less of a difference between the 90s high school comedy dramedy kind of thing that you get as big, but there was a big, much bigger difference between that and the 80s ones that we got, Fast Times and Porky's and stuff like that, to American Graffiti.
Sure.
It feels like the 90s ones to today feel like this felt like Mean Girls, 10 Things I Hate About You kind of connected, right? Huh. It didn't feel that
sure
that
oh man weird. I can tell I'm looking at Maya Hawke now and straight up, you can see I don't see him so much, but I see her. I see big time Uma.
You see
Thurman
the Uma.
Here.
Yeah, you see lots of Uma in that face.
Yeah, that's great. 23 years old is all kicking butt. Yeah. That's awesome. So, you know what? I did. I saw a tiny bit piece of this. I watched Kim watch this for just a second. I walked in the room and it was something at a rich kid's pool.
Yes.
Giant house. Okay. Yeah. I saw a tiny bit of this. So this is good. You recommend me watching this?
I recommend it. It's actually pretty good. Like it's, you know, it's, harmless, you know, like you said, if you liked Mean Girls, probably would like this. It's kind of along those lines. Okay. You're not getting a Shakespeare remake here.
Right.
You're not getting, Taming of the Shrew was 10 Things I Hate About You, wasn't it?
And, yeah, that's something.
Easy
like that.
A was the Scarlet Letter. I mean, this is, you know, this is that, but Strangers on a Train.
Yeah. I always remember Othello was the movie called O. Right?
Yes, right.
Wasn't there, that was the thing, I don't remember that wrong.
Was that Taye Diggs? No, who was that in Othello, or in O?
Very handsome black man, is that my memory.
Yes, which is why I would immediately go to Taye Diggs. This is called, again, the name of this movie again is Do Revenge.
Do.
On Netflix.
D-O,
Do
everybody.
Revenge.
Yeah, not my car got wet overnight, not that kind of do.
Not
D-O.
Mountain Dew Revenge.
Yeah, and not D-O like the singer from... Not Ronnie James Dio.
Right, not Ronnie James Dio revenge.
No,
just
Dio
revenge.
As in spelling it with a D and an O.
As if Shia LaBeouf was telling you, do revenge.
Yeah, do revenge with his arms out and a green screen behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian, I got a game for you. Do you want to play a game?
Let's play a game.
All right, since I don't have a thing for this, let's just play that. Why not? So here's the deal. I put together some stuff because I got in the mood for some of these things, and I went, you know, it'd be fun is to test Brian a little on these.
All right. Okay.
Here is the concept. 80s stuff, and specifically, I want you to try to identify, based on what I'm going to play, these audio files, identify what 80s cartoon they're from.
Oh, God. 80s cartoons. Okay.
And these are all from their intros to help make things a little easy. So, for example, here's a throwaway.
Yeah.
And the Masters.
Easy one. He-Man and the Masters Universe.
It would be He-Man and the Masters Universe.
Exactly.
Kind of said it right there in the clip.
Yeah.
Good.
The rest of these, a little less.
You know how little, like, oh, man, there were some of these that yeah, all right. All right, let's get into this. I'm already like, if it's Transformers, I'm probably out. If it's Thundercats, I'm probably out.
Those ones are easy, though. Like, Thundercats is just straight up like, well, I don't know if you heard this. Here, I have Thundercats. Hold on.
Okay.
Right here. Where is it? See, it says Thundercats.
Well, yeah, that would be the giveaway right there.
The giveaway.
All right, okay.
All right, here we go. Let's start with this one. So He-Man's a gimme. Let's start keeping track now with this one, see if you can identify it. Here you go.
In a distant time and faraway place, the planet of New Texas floats deep in space. Sky of three suns, land of precious ore. The carrion rush brought outlaws by the score.
And then they were about to say the name.
They really should have gotten that guy a little closer to the microphone to explain what this show is about.
I agree.
All right. The chat room is over there, so I'm not looking at the chat room. So I'm going to say this. So it's a thing. It's in space. It's flying around.
It's definitely in space.
Is it Star Blazers?
Let me check. Is it Star Blazers?
It's not.
Incorrect.
What is it?
The answer is Brave Star.
Brave Star. Okay. All
amazing
right.
Show. It's so stupid. I love
it. It's the one you've actually talked about this before, and you've I think even watched it for Adventure Time.
I absolutely love it. I cannot get enough of Brave Star. Brave Star is the stupidest idea, and it somehow works. I would love a revival.
Never saw a single episode of it, but boy, based on that intro, I almost think I know what it's about.
Yeah, you kind of do. I mean, they're on a planet called New Texas.
New Texas.
And it's a planet and with a bunch of robots and aliens and stuff, but it just plays out like a Western. Like, everyone's just, it's all Western tropes, but in space.
Perfect.
Except his horse can turn into kind of Cringer style, and this is Filmation doing this. This is the He-Man people. His horse is a normal horse that he rides on, but sometimes the horse turns into a standing tall horse that talks.
Like on two legs walking around kind of horse?
Yeah, and it's horrifying, and he calls he calls Brave Star pard all the time.
Oh, God.
Instead of partner.
All right.
Anyway, and here's number two. So we're 0-1. Let's see if we can mix things up here with this one.
We are the E-D-E-E-E-E-E-E. Senator Scarris from the forest grow. We're
Any guesses?
God, no. I feel like it's the first time I've ever heard that.
You want to take a wild stab?
All right, let's see. All right, so it's the Forest Grove. Just the fact that he's like, we're the this feels like a Sigmund, like a Sid and Marty Krofft bong residue kind of show.
It does, but I'll give you one other hint. It's absolutely definitely animated, and it has.
Is it Snorks? I'm going to say Snorks.
All right, let's find out if you're right. If it's Snorks, Snorks? Incorrect. The answer is Ewoks. Ewoks.
Oh, Ewoks! Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Horrible, horrible intro song. Terrible. But it's that's him going, we're the E-E-E-E. And then eventually they kind of say Ewoks, but it's so bad I knew you wouldn't even be able to hear it.
Didn't even hear it. Never even heard him actually say the walks part of Ewoks.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Okay, good. Glad I avoided that one.
That all one right. is pretty bad. All right, here's one that you might get. I'm not sure. Okay. I think I beeped right. part of it, so it wouldn't give it away, but here is this okay. one.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Defender of the Universe, a mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil.
So loved by good, feared by okay. evil, and it's a mighty
robot. That's a defender of the universe.
Yes, and that is, by the way, if it's, the voice is familiar, I just don't want to send you in the wrong direction. That is
sure.
The normal voice of Optimus Prime, but this is yeah, not Transformers.
Frank Welker, but, yeah. Or not, is that Frank Welker?
Not Frank Welker, no. Peter Cullen. Peter Cullen.
Peter Cullen, yes, okay. Yeah. But a single robot who is defender of the universe.
Yep. He's not married. He's not even dating. He's sick.
he's a loner, daddy. He's a rebel. Yep. God. So if that rules out for me, that rules out GoBots, which would have been my guess. I don't remember a Rom the Space Knight cartoon, but boy, that would fit.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. Actually. Yeah. I'm trying to think of another robot. Oh, like, let's say Gundam.
Gundam. Is it Gundam?
I'm guessing Gundam.
All right. Brian says Gundam, one of the Gundams. We'll take any of the Gundams here.
Any Gundam.
Yeah. Any Gundams? Incorrect. The answer is...
Oh, of course, Voltron.
Voltron, exactly.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Totally Voltron. And it would have... Right. Obviously
I
should
have really gotten that one. Oh, my God.
Had I not bleeped it, you would have... Surely.
Well, won. And I had you not bleeped, yeah. I would have heard the word Voltron. And I
yeah, you would have heard the it. Term Voltron and thought, oh, I bet this is Voltron is what you would have
By
said.
By the way, none of these shows did I actually watch, so this is great.
Man, Voltron was so good.
I keep waiting for Captain Caveman or Jabberjaws or something like that, like some of the garbage that I did for whatever reason watch.
Oh, maybe I'll hit one of those. I don't know. Let's find out.
Maybe.
Here's one for you.
I am Adora, twin sister. And defender of the Crystal Castle.
That's She-Ra, princess of the universe. Princess of power. That's what
princess
it is.
Princess of power. Congratulations. You got that
thank
one.
Thank you.
Threw an easy one in there. She basically said exactly what Adam said. She just said Crystal Castle and
exactly, yes.
had like a unicorn horse or something instead of a cat. It was all the same.
And you know, she has to tell us, well, I'm it's cool. I can do this because I'm his sister.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm valid because I'm the sister of He-Man.
Right. That's how we did it in the 80s. You know, we had to,
that's right, exactly.
We had to lead them in. All right. Here's one that I will admit to not watching, but a lot of people suggested this one. So I'm going to play this one.
All right.
Any ideas there?
Whoa, I was trying to figure out what he was saying at the end. Boy, Steve Perry really had a bad career after he left Journey, didn't he? Boy. All right, Masked Crusaders. Masked Crusaders
correct.
Is what I'm focusing on. And it's definitely not
that.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which would, you know, be a group of Masked Crusaders that I would think about. But obviously that's not the Heroes on the Half Shell song that I know and love. I mean, part of me is just wanting to say, is it Mask? The M.A.S.K.? Let's say Mask.
You think
I'm going to say
Mask?
Mask.
All right. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You did it. It's
thank
Mask.
You. Thank you very much.
I always heard I should have watched that, and I never did. So
never saw a single episode of that either.
That might be one I try to track down. I don't know. I'll see if I can find
it. Yeah, maybe that's a couch party business.
Could happen. Now, here's one that I did watch. But I always feel like no one else knows about this one. And I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a bunch in the chat will be like, oh, no, I totally loved it. I don't know. But here it is. We got three more of these.
After years of peaceful existence on the distant planet Valoria, Questar and his people were forced into battle. The power of their step crystal ripped a hole in the fabric of time, sending them backward to prehistoric Earth. Unaware that at the same moment the evil Emperor Krulos was plotting to capture the step crystal with his own grotesque Rulon forces. And so the battle continues in a new place and time will.
Okay. It stopped right when he's going to say the name.
Perfect, perfect. Yes, well done. And this, that, my friends, by the way, is a really good intro. It really sets up the show perfectly.
It does. I agree.
Is it Herculoids?
I wish it was Herculoids. It is absolutely not Herculoids. Herculoids was great. This is that is not the correct answer. The correct answer is Dino Riders.
Dino Riders, although it makes sense with the prehistoric thing.
Yeah. I don't feel like a lot of people saw it, but I did, and I love Dino Riders.
Dino Riders at all. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it. I remember it existing.
Or a good show, not a good game. All right. Here's a tricky one. This might be just as you and I were like maturing out of what we would be our era of Saturday morning cartoons.
Saturday morning cereal. Yeah. Bowl of cereal on the floor, footy pajamas.
Yeah. Smell, you know, we all smell like toast, whatever. Not toast. Right. Waffles.
That's right.
And this is one that would have probably just been like late, very late 80s, 88, 89. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
So it might be tricky, but here you go.
Welcome to Video Land.
Real quick, he said mega high. I just want to put that out there. Mega high.
Which,
I mean, there's more. I think
it was
more,
the Pac-Man and Friends, but.
Well, here, I'll give you more.
Let's hear a little more. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Wake up, Kid Icarus.
Welcome to Castlevania.
It's Klongo Land.
By the rain, we'll get you, little princess.
Princess, the palace is under siege.
Behold. The ultimate warp zone.
All right.
Okay. Well, definitely not Pac-Man and Friends. So that was a Nintendo thing, obviously, Kid Icarus and Castlevania and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember what the actual show was that collected all those. Was it Nintendo Superstars or something like that?
Oh, you are so in the periphery of this. You're very close. Yeah. You're very close.
I don't know. And I'm looking now. I'm looking at the chat, so don't accept any answers from me at this point. But people are saying Captain N. Was it Captain N?
It was Captain N. Well, first, let me give you this.
Yeah, give me one of those.
Captain N and the Game Master. It was called.
Okay, Captain N and the Game Master.
It was absolutely a bald face attempt to just sell video game cartridges. That's what its job was.
Exactly.
It was not to be good or entertain properly. It was like you want to buy. They want to buy Nintendo. Here's a bunch of characters you know about.
Oh no, it's Jumping Flash, a giant rabbit that's gonna jump on us that no one's ever gonna buy. Watch out, Spyro the Dragon.
Sure, except that'd be Sony show. Except, but actually, yes,
right, that's right, exactly.
Captain S and the Game Master is what that would be.
Right.
All right, here's your final one.
Okay.
I thought this was a cool show at the time. I'll see if you can figure it out.
In the near future, Doc Terror and his cyborg companion Hacker unleash their forces to conquer Earth. Only one force can stop this evil, a handful of brave men. In specially created exo-frames, they can be transported anywhere to fuse with incredible assault weapon systems beamed down from the space station Sky Vault, becoming Man and Machine Power Extreme.
Man and Machine Power Extreme. Ooh, yeah, what show are we talking about here?
So it's another one of these... I think it's another one of these where it was like people in robot suits that then could join together and become like another big robot, kind of like Voltron. But there was another one that was like that. Shoot. Or no, maybe I'm still thinking of Voltron.
Well, there was G-Force, but they didn't really join, right? They just had a ship.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I forget how they worked. So. I always forget. G-Force and Voltron mixed me in my head for some reason.
Jeez. I love the intro, like, and his stupid sidekick, Borgon.
Yeah. Oh, and we should, I mean, it may have been obvious to everybody, but that was the guy who did most of the Super Friends stuff after Ted Knight left.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
So he was Super Friends from, like, I don't know, season 3 forward, and that now he's here doing this.
Excellent.
Oh, Battle of the Planets was G-Force, that's right.
Battle of the Planets.
I mean, it was G-Force in America, but Battle of the Planets in Japan, or was it? Did they flip it? No, I don't
maybe.
Know.
Whatever. All right, so that's a whole different thing, though. This is, Was this Gundam?
Let's find out. It might have been. Let's see. What does the judge say? Is it Gundam? Nope. The answer is Centurions.
Centurions. Okay. I remember the name. Don't remember the cartoon.
That's a really cool cartoon. It's very really? Cool. Okay. Like they basically were a bunch of Iron Men is how it was.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. They didn't join together to form one big Iron Man, though.
Not that I know of. Maybe there was an event at some point where they all joined forces. But for the most part, they were separate. One was like a guy who was really good in the water. Another guy that was really good in the air. And another guy I think was just really strong and tanky. It was cool, man. Centurions are cool. They're basic, but they were rip-off Iron Man, totally.
Yeah, they look like G.I. Joe Iron Man.
Yeah, good way of putting it. They were like Yojo inside a freaking Iron Man
suit. And they had an orangutan, like a sidekick orangutan, yep, is that what I'm saying?
Because everyone did. Y'all had to have one.
Yeah, monkey everyone sidekick, everybody. Pick your monkey sidekick.
Everybody's stupid show in the 80s had to have a dumb sidekick. I hate it. Yeah. Why? What was the deal?
And Orko and
yeah, Orko. You think Orko's bad? Brave Star has this like alien from the planet. He just looks like a turd, and he's just always going, "Brave Star, we need to hurry up and save everybody." He just has that kind of voice. Makes me want to poop a brick the wrong direction. Anyway, Brian, you did pretty good. One out of nine.
Yeah. What? Okay, that's all right. You know what? Knowing the context, I'm kind of impressed that I got one of those. And it was the Gimme. It was freaking She-Ra, who basically just repeats everything Prince Adam says.
I got to go watch some of this stuff. It's got me in the mood. So, that's part of
it. Yeah, I stopped watching. I mean, basically, 84, anything 84 and before, because that would be like 14 years old for us. Yeah. That's when I, maybe they just stopped showing them out here, because that stuff was starting to phase away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they quit. To me, my memory of it is you used to be able to start at like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. and you could go till like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Like it was a big, long block. Yeah. And it felt like by the time we were in high school, that had changed so that you could go from 6 a.m. to about 8 a.m. or something. And then an infomercial would be on or wrestling or something. Like they started cutting back.
Yeah.
Which bums me out because I miss that stuff. Anyway, there you go. Well, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. You know, missing them, getting them, whatever. I don't care, but it was a lot of fun.
Thanks for playing along. We're going to now do a quick text here from a listener. Sure. This is from Steph, who says, "Steph here, the only one who had dinner with Brian and Tina on Friday prior to his sickness. Can confirm I am not the dirty Denverian who got him sick, as I am a Utah driving back to Salt Lake City on Friday." See you soon, Scott. Steph. So, Stephanie... wasn't you.
She still didn't confirm that she didn't get me sick. She's just saying, I'm not the Denverian who got him sick.
I'm the Utah.
Yes. By the way, I think we're Denverites
Coloradans? You're Coloradans.
Coloradans is the easy one, right? Coloradoans or Coloradans. Either is acceptable. Yeah. But Denverite, I think, is what I've heard.
People always give me cheese for Utah, but it's really the same.
Really?
It's the same naming convention as Coloradan.
Just, it really is. Yeah. I mean, we don't end with an age, so it's like...
What are you going to be? Utites?
Utes. That's a whole different group of people.
Yeah, the Utes are an actual tribe of Indians.
They're an actual tribe. Can't be the Utes.
Can't do that. So, I don't know. Chaff, if you have better ideas, let us know.
Utinos.
If you want to be like Steph and write in and tell us if you're the one that got Brian sick, you can do that. 801-471-0462. All right. Let us know. We'd love it.
Still sniffly here, but that's about it. I'd say 94%, 93%, hovering right there in that area.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You have a concert next week. You'll be in perfect condition
for that. Yeah, exactly.
You'll be all cleared up.
Back to the hot zone.
Yep.
Back to one of the places I might have gotten it.
Yeah, some sweet, sweet COVID history with you in Anaheim. All right, let's get this underway here with the news. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Gore, the podcast all about scary movies with Monica and Wesley. Check out Gore wherever you get podcasts.
Do it.
I think TV's Travis is on that too, isn't he?
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they said the two hosts.
Promo?
Oh, sorry, Travis, if you're in there, I didn't use your name. Is he? Oh, that's great. Dude, Travis has got a good eye for that crap. That's awesome.
Oh, four hosts. Who's the fourth? So Monica, Wesley, TV's Travis, and... Jerry Pinkleton.
Oh, the Pinkletons, finally.
Yes. Oh, Faye. Okay.
Faye. Got it. So you got four of you in there. That's good. I think a movie show, I mean, I can only speak from film sack experience, but it feels like that's about the number
it's
you
the
like.
That's with four hosts. Yes,
yeah, exactly. I think four is what you want. Just Joey. Joey's not on there, is he?
No.
No,
Joey.
No, no wrestlers. No wrestlers
no
allowed.
No wrestlers.
Okay, forget it.
No.
No Claire. No, Claire is her secret lover, not her co-host.
No, I think they're just trying to pull you in to say Monica, Joey, Phoebe, Chandler.
Oh, they want me to. I see the whole lineup. Did you hear? Did you watch that?
Now the Matthew Perry tell-all special.
Yeah,
I haven't. I'm not sure I will because I think Tina will, and she'll give me the top notes. Oh, you can give me the top notes then.
The main takeaway was he was really, really struggling with drugs during the time that show was being made, and so his constant weight changes between seasons was.
What I hear is when I was fat, it was alcohol. When I was skinny, it was drugs.
Yeah, basically. He's also still very slurry. He's clean. He says he's clean.
Sure.
But my guess is the toll has been taken.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of wrecked a little bit. But it was also a very, I don't know, made me really, it was really nice to hear how kind and considerate Jennifer Aniston was.
Yeah, that's what I hear, that she was, you know, like constantly in touch with him and keeping, you know, basically helping him and being there for him.
Seemed like she actually gave a crap about him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that by default that means the rest didn't. I don't know.
that booger Matt LeBlanc, man. Yeah. What a booger.
He didn't bring them up in that regard, but I think maybe she just went the extra mile or whatever.
She was
nice.
Exactly. The most prominent of the people helping him.
Therefore, I will never make fun of her breath again.
Aw, look at you.
Well, you know, my dogs are gone. Oh, they miss Carter already. That's what's going on. It's the song of their people. Let's get to this story here about an Iranian man who didn't wash for half a century. That's 50 years for those keeping the math. Died at 94. That's it. He's out. 50 years. He's been called and known as the world's
caked
dirtiest man.
Dirt.
Oh yeah, you got to see the picture of this dude.
Oh no, really? Yeah. Do I, or is it going to gross me
I
out?
I think it's beyond. He probably doesn't even smell anymore. It's probably like he's just earth, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
He's just like part of the planet at that stage.
Really
I'll pull
is.
This up, Chad, so you can see it as well. There he is.
I mean, if that's his house, then it makes sense, right? Because I don't see a nice Moen faucet in that. In that little hut, or a shower.
No, he isn't interested. Now, if you go down a little bit,
is he smoking four cigarettes at a time?
Yeah, four cigs in his hand at a time. He would do. I guess he was known for that as well. It's like always smoking more than one cigarette at a time. I'm not saying that this is an example. All 94-year-olds, you know, that this is like a way to live longer is to have zero
right.
self care of any kind and smoke four cigarettes at once. But yeah, that dude. Phew. Anyway, his name is Digimon Hansu. Just kidding. His name is Amu Haji.
Amu Haji.
He refused to soap. He refused soap and water for more than half a century, fearing it would make him sick. The Iranian lived in the southern province of Fars.
For farts.
They left the T off of the farts.
They left the T. It's a typo.
It should be
farts.
It's a typo. He avoided previous attempts by villagers to get him to get clean. We're talking about Matthew Perry. It sounds like the same thing. Anyway, but local media say he finally succumbed to pressure and washed a few months ago. Oh, that's what did him in. He washed. And he became ill shortly after. I feel bad, man. He should have kept being dirty. Anyway, previous interview given to the Tehran Times in 2014 revealed his favorite meal was porcupine and that he lived between a hole in the ground and a brick shack built by concerned neighbors in the village of Dejga. He also told the outlet at the time his unusual choices were down to emotional setbacks when he was younger. Years of not bathing left him with skin covered in soot and pus. Oh, geez. His diet had consisted of rotten meat and unsanitary water from an old oil can. How do you live to be 94? Man, I hope I live to be 60. And I shower every day.
No kidding. Yeah, maybe that's the problem. We're washing all that important stuff off of us. You know, like we're washing all of that That caked on dirt that keeps us alive.
I only smoke 3 cigarettes at a time. So, you know, I'm conservative.
Problem. That's the problem.
Is that the problem? I need to go one more cigarette and then I'm...
One more. Well, one in each nostril. Okay. And,
okay. Every orifice has a cigarette hanging out of it. Great. Let's move on to this story. The attorney who fought Florida helmet laws died in a motorcycle crash while not wearing a helmet. Look, I'm not celebrating this at all.
No, but it is. Oh, I hate the God. It's like such a rough. Like you don't want to do a doth protest too much, and then I told you so because it's such a, you know, somebody died, which is kind of
sad. Yeah, but he should have worn a helmet in the end. Like I will say this: good luck to his family. Sorry for everybody's loss. All that stuff. He should have worn a helmet, and he shouldn't have fought those laws all those years. In the late 90s, when Florida bikers were still required to wear helmets, Pinellas lawyer Ron Smith was an aggressive advocate for overturning that law. He was a member of ABATE, a brotherhood against totalitarian enactments and American bikers aimed toward education.
Backronym.
100%, dude.
Wait. So they can't even agree on what ABATE stands for. It's like two different acronyms.
Yeah, it's two different acronyms. So they finally just said, whatever, just say it all together. And then they just kept ABATE because it's fun to say, I guess. Anyway, they lobbied against the law for years. He represented clients. He ran afoul of Florida's motorcycle requirements and court cases. And he helped flip that law to make it so it was not, you didn't have to wear them.
Yeah.
One of the cases went all the way to the Second Court of Appeals, which ruled that Florida's helmet law at the time was constitutional. Then the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles had failed to properly publish a list of protective equipment as required by law. Anyway, there's all this background. He got in a crash and died because he didn't wear one. Now, what I'm going to say about this is maybe a little bit weird. I don't... How do I put this? Part of me says, yeah, if you don't want to wear a helmet, don't. But there shouldn't be a law.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're stupid for not wearing one.
I know. I drove somebody in my Lyft yesterday, and he was a chopper rider, and I was giving him a ride to a hotel that a housing group, the VA was putting him in because they're working on a house for him, and so they're putting him up in a hotel. And so he's telling me all about this. You know, he's got the settlement from this woman who T-boned him while he was on his chopper. And I said, "All right, I'm going to ask you a question. No judgment here, but were you wearing a helmet?" And he said, "Nope." And the only thing that I ended up with on my head was a scratch that was so minor that the hospital didn't even treat the scratch. Huh. You know, it was like my legs were busted. They thought there was a chance I would never walk again, but I'm walking now. And I was in a wheelchair for 6 months and blah, blah, blah. And I said, does that make you, like, when you get back, because he was talking about getting back, you know, a motorcycle eventually. He just like, oh, I just want my house and I want my motorcycle. I'm like, when you get back to your motorcycle, are you going to do anything different? Are you going to wear a helmet? No.
Like, isn't this just bias confirmation? That's all this is. Because in his mind, he's like, well, I refused.
Because he didn't have a
helmet. Yeah, because he didn't. Yeah. It's like, what the frick, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so dumb.
Like, you lucked out. Maybe don't rely on lucking out again.
Don't push your luck, dude.
Exactly, yeah.
Just wear a helmet. It's no big deal. It's like not a big deal. You're going to ride a thing, wear a helmet. And if you don't, fine. But don't be shocked if you end up in a hospital with freaking major head trauma or death. Okay?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Golly. Oh, the poor guy.
It's just kind of ironic, though. You spend your life, you know, trying to...
Fighting a thing that eventually is the thing that kills you.
Yeah. There was always that story. I don't know if it's true. It may have been apocryphal, but who was the guy that would only eat meat as their diet? The Atkins diet?
Oh, yeah.
And Atkins, the guy, the actual Atkins, Howard Atkins, or whatever his name was, died of a heart attack one day on the street.
Right.
And they didn't, you know, there was no, I don't remember there being word that it was specifically attributed to his diet, but
no,
but still.
It's really, it didn't help things. You certainly don't hear about the Atkins diet as much as you hear about paleo and keto and
well, it's because those involve vegetables, so they.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you don't hear about the Atkins one anymore. Like, it's people like say, yeah, maybe we're not doing that one.
There is a new one called what's it called? Shoot, what do you call it when somebody eats only meat? Carnivore diet. carnivore diet. And it's all you do.
About that one?
It was some dude yapping about it on YouTube and talking about how great it is, and he's never felt better. That dude up in Canada that's controversial, that Jordan Peterson guy, claims that his three meals a day are a medium rare steak, salt, and some water. That's all he eats, and claims it's changed his life and cured his daughter's cancer or something she had. I mean, it wasn't cancer; it was allergies or something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Bobby was saying, isn't paleo just like basically Atkins? Like it's all meat.
Yeah.
I was thinking that paleo involved more earth grains and stuff.
No? Oh yeah, no. Paleo is like what would cave people eat?
Right. Okay.
They would eat plants. They would eat meat. You know, berries. Yeah. They would eat things they could go and gather, and meat.
Right.
So it's not just meat.
Okay.
But the carnivore people, it's all meat all the time.
Yeah.
So they're basically Atkins.
And what was the lifespan of the cavemen again? I'm thinking it was pretty short.
It's pretty low. I think you just need a nice, you know what you need? You
it
need
might
a
have
nice...
been other things. It might have been other factors, you know.
you know.
Lack of permanent shelters and...
Yeah, and huge tigers with giant tusk teeth.
Right,
like
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like
different
walking
different
around with a bunch of cringers everywhere.
That's right.
Oh, He-Man, I don't want to go.
All right, if you got some money, I got a place for you to throw it away. Okay, you're going to throw your money away at this thing.
Okay, tell me, I'm ready. I've written out my check. I've made it out to blank. So tell me who I'm putting in this.
Make it out to Costco is the brand.
Costco. All right. Yep. Okay.
You're familiar with the work
more
of
meat?
Costco.
Am I buying more meat, Scott?
No. Nope.
More earth grains?
No. Nope.
Okay.
More toilet paper and bottles of water. That's all you're getting there. Or this lovely gift idea. You can get a mega jigsaw puzzle at Costco that is 60,000 pieces, 29 Jeez. Feet wide. I don't know who has space for this. I don't know who's doing this.
29. Yeah, no kidding. Because you've got to have a 30-foot wide space in your house for a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
I can't.
If you have
you must have no pets, because guaranteed your cat or dog is going to eat one of those pieces and just screw you.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Not with that many pieces. I don't even know how you do this. I can't stand. I don't like puzzles. I don't
really?
Like.
Yeah, Jeannie's with you. She says, "I don't get jigsaw puzzles. Don't you have something else to do?"
Yeah,
I like jigsaw puzzles. Actually, honestly, Tina's a big fan of them. I bought her a set of the Haunted Mansion. You know those stretching paintings in that first room of the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a set of all four of those stretching paintings, and
that's
she just
actually
finished
cool.
one of them.
How big are they?
They're not 29 feet, Scott. They're maybe about. I don't know, maybe 18 inches, 2 feet high. And
so that'd be about 500 to 1,000 pieces, something like that?
Yeah, something silly like that, exactly.
Well, this one is 60,000 pieces if you're into it. And here's the problem. If you said to me, hey, Scott, this thing, and if you're really into this, I get it. If you said, hey, this thing's $100, I'd say, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Maybe, no, sure.
It's $599.
$600? No.
$600 for a jigsaw puzzle that's bigger than your house.
If there's, you know, if this was one of those, like, you know, the first 10 people to complete this puzzle get $10,000 or something.
Yeah.
Then I'd maybe be like, oh, okay, I kind of see this. But no, it's just pictures of the Taj Mahal and the Eiffel Tower and
yeah,
forget this.
Yeah, national park stuff. That's all it is.
Like, it feels like I could just do 15 small jigsaw puzzles that have all these different things and use one table and get rid of them the next time I put another one together.
There's just so many things I would spend $600 on before I'd do it with a puzzle.
For sure.
This is really dumb. But I guess if you're that person, you know who you are and you were going to get it anyway, and that's fine. No judgment here, I guess. They did say does not beat the record. The current Guinness World Record belongs to the United Arab Emirates, which holds the title for a 65,905 square foot jigsaw puzzle. Jeez.
Whoa.
I don't
no
know
way.
That's in
65,905 square foot.
Probably in some dedicated space in the UAE, if I had to guess.
Right.
You know? That's what they do over there. They just throw money at everything. It's like, hey, they got all the oil money. We got infinite money. All this oil money for all these years. What do you want to do? Build a skyscraper that can.
Exactly. Let's
walk
have
around.
Buildings with fountains built into the sides of them.
Yeah, there is that. Dubai's got so much money they don't know what to do.
Do So when you put something like this together,
yeah,
somebody gets you this as a gift. Oh, here we go. It's actually 61,000 piece puzzles. So it's really like you could do these as 60 individual 1,000 piece puzzles.
You could.
I'd get so damn bored.
You could, but that's just how, why?
60? Screw that. Like, even if it was like 60 Marvel Comics, classic Marvel Comics covers that are each 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, forget it.
Would you do it, Brian? No, I'd get bored after 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, give me like a Marvel Comics cover collection that's like 8. Oh, I'd probably do it, but not 60 1,000 piece puzzles.
Yeah.
You put these things together and then what, like,
crumple
them back up and put them back in the box? Or do you...
Well, when we were growing up, we always did that glue thing when we were growing up. So I assume you could do that. Yeah.
And then what did you do with them once they were glued? Like, they'd still get thrown out later on.
Oh, yeah. Like, my mom had ideas that we, like, the rec room area downstairs, we would, like, cover the walls in them and say, this would be like our wall of fame where you completed these puzzles. Like, no, they're getting thrown away. And they did. No one kept that.
Exactly.
Why would you? The whole point of it is the Zen experience of putting it together. And then when you're done, you're freaking done. I do like these TikTok videos where like an old lady or somebody will finish a huge puzzle. Mm-hmm. And then their grandson or son will run in there and just for likes and clicks, he'll go and just wreck it in front of their mom.
Sure.
Those are fun to watch. Yeah. I assume those are mostly staged, if I had to
guess. I'm sure. Yeah. Oh no, what have you done?
You're out of the family.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, time with Bill Duran. We got a question out there in the audience for him, plus whatever he's brought this week, and some science with Bobby. I wonder if he'll bring up that asteroid that almost hit us, or I guess is swinging past us next week, that's pretty big and gnarly. Maybe not, I don't know. I may be jumping ahead here. Anyway, we'll find out here shortly. But when we do that, we have to take a break. We have to play a song. Brian, play the song. What are we doing?
Yeah. How about Nate No Face? This is a guy who spells his name N8NOFACE. So if you're searching for it, just replace the letters 8 and Nate No Face with the number 8. There you go. This is the first single from his Bound to Let You Down remix EP. This is really good. This is a remix by Adult of his song Spray. Here is Spray by Nate No Face.
Puppy dies, will she go to heaven?
Well, Matthew, that's a very good question, and I think I have something in my pocket that might help me explain the answer to you. It's a candy bar.
Fortnite is a homoerotic video game for young people.
The Morning Stream. A bug planet. A planet hostile to life.
We're back. Tell me who that was again.
That was I want to know how a candy bar is going to help explain what happens to that kid's dog. That was Nate No Face and a song called Spray.
Now I think I actually have another part of that guy explaining the candy bar. Let me see if I have it here.
I have your dog's remains in my pocket right here.
Okay, here's what he says. He goes on to say
there are three different ingredients to it. There's the chocolate that covers the whole thing, and then if you bite into it, there's what's called the nougat, and then there's caramel in the middle of it. You can see all three of these different things, but they make one candy bar.
Who knows where that's going? That's as far
nugget.
As I have it.
Oh, even he calls it nougat.
Nougat. Nougat.
Nougat.
That's good stuff. Teach your children well, everybody. All right. Hey, what's up now? I know what's up. It's bill time. Let's yeah. It's time to do our billing.
Bill.
Our weekly billing.
Bill.
Okay. Here we go. All right. He's incoming. We're going to do this. Where's this thing? There it is. All right.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joins us, as he does each and every Tuesday, from punishprops.com to talk about making stuff. And I know he's got cool things going on. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, friends. Happy to be here.
Nice to have you here. I got a thing for you before we get going.
Let's do it.
This is a text. This came from a listener named Kirk, who says, how great is it that the first two syllables of your TMS resident maker's name is Builder? Like yep. Builder. Love the show, though. Kirk. Is that a thing you've always kind of known, that you're a Builder? Like, if you shorten Duran, it's you're a Builder.
Yeah. In fact, I've once or twice had people call me Builder Man.
Oh. Yeah, Builder pretty, and the Builder Man. Yeah,
pretty relevant.
We might have even done that ourselves.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Well,
make my own Bill Nye intro.
I agree with Kirk. It's actually very cool, and you deserve the title. Sure. All right. Well, you're here again, as always, and I know last week you were launching into a pretty cool new project. What's happened since? What are we talking about today?
Not much, because instead of finishing that project, we went to Las Vegas.
Oh yeah, right. You did.
Yeah, that looked like fun. You guys saw cool stuff while you were there.
Yeah, I want to talk about BattleBots today.
Yeah. Mm.
So, Brittany's birthday was last week, and the only thing she wanted to do was go to Vegas and watch robot combat. So we did, and I want to talk about what we saw, because we got to see how the show is filmed, and it's fascinating. I'm, of course, not going to talk about any of the fights or what happened. I don't want to spoil anything, because the show hasn't aired yet. The show is filmed at Caesars Entertainment Studios. That's where we're hanging out. They have a big old tent with the battle box and everything set up inside. And the teams fly out to compete over 2 weeks. And they film dozens and dozens of robot fights over those 2 weeks. And they're fighting to determine the winner of the BattleBots Championship. And the trophy, the Big Nut. I got to hold the Big Nut.
Oh, nice. Hey, can I ask you a question? Why do so many of them, it must be effective, so I know the answer to this, but why do they all do they have a flip mechanism almost in every case?
Oh, yeah.
Flipping mechanisms are so handy because you use the opponent's robot's weight against them.
Yeah.
Once they're in the air, especially if they're like 30, or maybe not 30, but like 10 feet in the air, on the way down, they're going to do a ton of damage to themselves. Flippers are super effective.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So the competition is both a live competition with an audience and a TV show, but the TV show doesn't air until months after the event, which makes it a little interesting the way they film it. Every day, there are 2 4-hour filming sessions. So we bought tickets to one of them that started at noon. There's a different audience for each section. So they film a bunch of fights, and then they scoot out that audience, and they bring in a new audience, and then they film a whole bunch more. The live audience gets a sneak peek at the fights and the winners, which is pretty cool. We got to see some fights before they'll air. But we were told explicitly to not spoil anything, but also not take photos or videos of the actual fights.
Mm, okay.
We were told, though, that since we know some of the winners now, that when the show does air, we could win bets against our friends, which is pretty handy.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some of the recap on their official YouTube channel, and there. Can you tell me about the environments a little bit? Because I didn't realize there were hazards.
Yes.
In the environments. Is that a new thing, or am I just not...
No.
Okay.
So the BattleBots, they have added new hazards over time. A couple of years ago, they added the upper deck, which is a higher spot that robots can get stuck on. The BattleBots is a huge enclosure with 1.25-inch thick Lexan. It's bulletproof. It has to be. These robots are incredibly destructive.
Yeah.
Oh, the floor is like inch thick plate steel. There are gaps where saw blades come out at the after 2 minutes of fighting, saw blades come out every once in a while. There are screws on the wall to bind up your robot. There are hammers in the corners that the teams can activate. Those hammers are called the pulverizers. It's quite an enclosure. I also got to go in there.
No way. You get to walk in there? Dude.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, we got to. Not everyone got to. We got to.
Did you get to like get pieces of anything or like walk out of there a little chunk of it?
No,
broken?
They do a great job of cleaning up. I do have some BattleBot parts that I've acquired through other channels.
Yeah.
The fights are filmed in a haphazard order. Basically, they have as fights progress, they figure out who's fighting who, which changes. And then basically whoever's ready to fight, they throw in there because there's a lot of hurry up and wait. A lot of people fixing their robots.
Sure. So less fine tuning and.
Yep.
Yeah.
So everything gets filmed out of order. So it's a little wacky to watch it live because the hosts will throw to things that haven't happened yet or happened a while ago. There was a host there that was just to keep the audience engaged between the fights. They would show us the last fight in slow motion and stuff on the big TV screen between fights to keep us entertained. But also there was a guy on the speaker, like a director over the PA, who would tell us what to do. So he would say, okay, you guys want to stand now? Get ready to clap. We got a fight starting in 5 seconds. So and so. And then the fights last up to 3 minutes, unless there's a knockout. And then it was about 10 to 20 minutes between the fights. And that's what you really don't see on TV. So a fight will end, they announce a winner, and then people run into the battle box to do things like put out any fires, remove the last bots, collect any parts, sweep up bits. And they also have to repair damage made to the arena between fights. Frequently, we're talking about those flipper robots, frequently robots get sent into the ceiling of the battle box, destroying lighting and filming equipment. And glass is just raining down everywhere. So between fights, someone will come out with a ladder. Like, quick, we got to fix that light. Someone else has a grinder who's grinding away all the sharp edges left in the floor from the weapons. It's intense.
Wow.
And then they do another fight. And we got to see 12 fights in our 4-hour block, which seemed like a lot of robot combat.
Did you, you can decide whether you want to tell me this or not. Yeah, is there a team that I should be watching for? This airs?
Not really. So we saw they filmed two different tournaments. They filmed the main championship, but since they have so many robots in town and robots get knocked out of the championship, they take the robots that have been knocked out and they do a secondary tournament called the Sin City Slamfest, I believe. So most of the fights we saw were from that. We saw 11 fights from that. We saw one fight from the championship. I wouldn't even be able to tell you who to look for because we didn't see many fights from the main championship. But I wouldn't anyway. I want it to be a surprise.
Sure. Yeah.
No. It's still a surprise for me. We only saw a handful of fights out of the dozens and dozens that they filmed. So I'm excited to see it when it finally airs.
When does this air? Or sorry, where does it air? I never remember who's doing it. Who carries this thing?
Discovery Plus has it, and they also have all the old BattleBots seasons of the last run that started in 2016. So if you want to get caught up on BattleBots, they have the championship fights. They also have the Slamfest fights I was telling you about, and a bunch of extra stuff. And then you can also buy it on Amazon. I'm not sure where it does on TV, probably Discovery Channel, but I don't have cable, so.
Sure. Me neither.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I feel like I've just let that simmer and I've never gotten into it. And it's dumb because I'd love this sort of thing. Love watching this crap.
It's incredible. It's so, so good. Yeah. And we've gotten into it since the show started up again in 2016. We've gotten to learn the fights. I've gotten to know a lot of the people that work there and have bots. The community seems incredible. Everyone, like I said, they're there for 2 weeks. It's like summer camp for BattleBots. They're all friends and families, and they've known each other for decades. And they get together for 2 weeks in Vegas every year to fight with robots. Like, I could tell this is a group of people that all really support one another and love fighting robots and putting on a good show.
I'm going to throw out an idea. Okay, this is just an idea. But you've got this name, Punish Props, uh-huh. Amazing name. Yeah. You've got a love for BattleBots.
Mm-hmm.
When does Punish Props become a team in BattleBots?
I know, right?
Punished Bots.
Punished
so,
Bots.
So that's good. I like it. So yeah. Here's the thing. BattleBots are expensive. And then you break them.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. It's common sure. If you're going to get into robot combat to start much smaller. There are ant weight categories. We're talking like a 3-pound robot, not a 250-pound robot. So if I got started, that's where I would get started. And it is very tempting. There are local teams here in Seattle. In fact, I talked to some while we were in Vegas. We're going to go hang out with them and potentially pick up another hobby.
If it
progresses, then eventually, maybe in a couple of years, we'll have a team in the big show.
That would be amazing to see.
Yeah. I also want to point out, too, I want to do a little proselytizing for my twin brother is a robotics coach for his high school. And his goal is to get young people into robotics. BattleBots is a really great inspiration, but if you're a high schooler and you've got a robotics program in your high school, I'm going to say it's worth checking out.
You'll learn
actual valuable skills you can apply to jobs, and you'll be on a team and you'll learn teamwork, and it's wicked fun.
If I had to guess, I'm guessing less schools have it than would be optimal, right? It's probably a rare thing.
It's more every year, and there are a couple of different leagues. Next Robotics and First Robotics. You want to take a peek out for them.
Nice.
See if they have any programs in your area.
Nice. Go do it, everybody. Fight robot fights. Woo!
Yeah.
Nice.
Keep them, build them up so that when they take over, they've got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe they'll respect you, and you'll be spared.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this is the guy that put us in a ring and made us fight each other. He's the first to go.
It's a lot of maybes. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bill, you always bring a little something extra with you. What do you got this
week? I do. This is an older video from William Osman. He's a goofy maker man. He got to, I'm using air quotes now, build a battle bot and fight another battle bot. This video is called it's a $40 battle bot versus a $25,000 battle bot. Okay. It's fun. It's silly.
Is this the arena that you went to, by the way?
Yes. Yeah, okay. It's so good. He has friends there and they let him play in the arena somehow, and they built a tiny robot out of an RC car and put it against a real battle bot. You can imagine what happened. It doesn't make it any less fun to watch.
Wow. Awesome. This video versus subscriber count is like what you all dream of. He's got 2.7 million subscribers. This video has 2.4 million views.
Right.
That's pretty good ratio right there. Okay, yep. I'm going to have to watch and see how this all... Oh, my Lord. It's like a pink unicorn. Oh,
it's got a little horse head on it and little pinwheels.
Funny enough, this video does get a pretty good idea what the behind the scenes at BattleBots is kind of like.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's a long, moist pony.
Just destroys it. Brian, when you get to the point where he blows it up, I'm going to... Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's like it just exploded into a bunch of fluff.
Yeah, it's barely even... It's like nothing's there now.
Yeah, they found parts of it in the ceiling rigging later.
That's really incredible. All right, nice find. That's really good.
Everyone, robot combat. Get involved.
Get involved. Make it happen. In the meantime, follow Bill over at Chinbeard on Twitter. And, of course, you can find him at punishprops.com and YouTube and all those places. Do it today if you haven't already. Bill, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See ya.
Bye.
See
ya. That is great. I thought it would chuck it like into the air or whatever.
Yeah.
It disintegrates it.
Vaporized the damn thing.
Yeah. That's insane. If that gives you a better feel for what the power of these are, like, that is disgusting what that thing did to that poor creature. Wow. All right. Nicely done. Hey, how about some science? How you feel about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You like a little science, do you?
Let's balance some of the fun with some of the education.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Got to be educated. Why not? Here you go.
Science.
It is science, and that means Bobby Frankenberger's here. Not to host while Brian's sick or anything like that. He's here to talk about
science.
No, but
you did a great job, man. Thank you for filling in last
week. You did do a good job. Nicely done, Bobby.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You did a great job, too, Brian.
Oh, thanks. Recuperating? Healing?
Yeah.
Being in the chat room, hazing everybody.
Yep. All of those things. Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, can we play this video of you that you sent me before we do anything
Absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah, let me pull up Twitch so I can watch it.
I'll also stick this. Let's see. I got to pull up.
Oh, yeah. If you pull it, put it in our chat, then
I'll share it and then you can see
play it without sound and try and match things up as best I can.
Way less weird. Hold on a second. Okay, this is coming to you.
I don't know about way less weird.
It's pretty weird. All right, let me pull it over here so the chat can see it. Yep, that dude leaning against that wall is absolutely Bobby. Let me zoom this in some. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play it with full audio. Enjoy. And this music. It's a PVC pipe.
Is that Nick Fury? I can't tell.
That's one of the inspirations for the character.
Oh, that mustache. And look how sweaty he is.
Hot lights.
South Carolina Pete. This music is so bad. All right, here we go.
I'm here to fix the cable.
He's got an airsoft gun in his pocket.
It took you long enough. Me and my mustache are getting bored waiting for you.
Look, man, we ran into some traffic, all right?
You think I give a damn about the traffic? What, do I look like some kind of hoity-toity businessman, fresh out of business school, afraid of getting his taint ripped out because he's been late for the first two times in his life? Look! I have a mustache.
End of list.
Yeah. That was a nice long pause.
I'm just busting your chops, man. I'm just busting your chops, all right.
Chops busting.
Listen, wise guy. Do you want this stuff or not?
Think I smoked this cigar for my health? Because I do. Did you open that damn
trunk?
Answer
questions.
It kind of goes like that for a while, but it's amazing, you guys.
Wow.
It's amazing. Bobby, tell us more. Why are you the one-eyed tough guy in this? What happened there?
Cigar-chomping, mustache-wearing.
When I was in college, my very good friend, very, very close friend, started a production company. He was a media arts student in the same college that we went to. I was studying psychology.
Yeah.
And he was studying media arts. But anyway, he had a production company called Pretty Penny Productions, and we made a bunch of, this is one of the things that we made. We also made another thing featuring that same character in a different way. But anyway, I had the idea to make a buddy cop sitcom, sort of. And this was before, by the way, there was a period of time where this making fun of the buddy cop genre was all the rage. So this was before all of that. We were on the leading edge, I claim.
That's right. Before Loaded Weapon 1.
Yeah. But, you know, before things like, I don't know, there was an Adult Swim show that came not too long after we did this, and that got really big. And then, of course, there was like, what's the thing that everybody knows?
The Thing?
I can't remember. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Came along, and it also made fun of the genre. Anyway, this was before all of that. This was also like right before YouTube. So we put these, all the videos that we made, we put on our own website, and we had to like hang flyers at the university to try to get people to watch them.
What year are we talking here? Is this like 03, 02, 04?
It was, so I think it was 04. So YouTube technically did exist, by the way. It's just, it was very small, and people, back then it was just people putting their like cat videos on, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
People hadn't really started doing, this was before, you know, the Guild wasn't around yet, which was kind of like when it seemed like that was about when everybody started to realize, oh, you can make web series. That's
right.
Oh, this must have been, okay, wait a minute. Oh, okay. I found some data. This is interesting. Just a little history lesson, everybody. February 14th, 2005 was the year, or was the date it was founded. So that's 17 years ago now. And then Google bought it a year later is all.
Oh, really? It was that short? That quick?
So it must have been so, like, ridiculously
up bargain, man.
Yeah, they did get it for a bargain, no question about it. Yeah. See, they sold
it. So yeah,
it
this
for...
was we worked on this the winter of 2004. So it was before YouTube, right before YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene that you played was I wrote that, I dreamt that scene in its entirety, the way it is, and I woke up. It was like a story you hear. I woke up in the middle of the night, got a notepad and or got on my computer or whatever, and I typed out the script for the whole thing. And the next day I gave it to my friend and I said, this is my pitch for the series we're making. and then we made it. It was very fun.
That's awesome, dude. Well, thanks for being willing to very share cool. the goofiness of it, because we all have done videos like this in the past. And
oh, for you know, sure.
I've made way more dumb videos than that. We made a lot. We had this whole thing because we were trying to gear up to make this show.
Sure.
And we knew we needed a lot of experience. Gear was expensive to have back then. This was before cheap LED lights that you can, you know, stick to the top of
anywhere.
Your DSLR camera.
Right.
Like, we had to rent things, not rent, but we had to check things out of the media arts department. They were like giant halogen lights that you lugged around. You had to have like a whole crew of people. We had big shoulder mounted cameras that only like shot in 480p.
wow. Same mustache, like, did you grow your mustache or was that a fake one?
That was a fake mustache. If you watch to the end of the scene, he rips it off.
I missed
to
that
reveal
part.
That he was undercover the whole time.
Oh man, who would have thunk it. That's fantastic. I love it. You should make more. It's Let's do a sequel series. Sure.
There's
the way.
Four full episodes, and we premiered them in a local theater and sold DVDs and everything.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. All right. You guys were entrepreneurs. And
we were trying to make it onto public access television. I think there was like some political people not knowing the right people things that kept us from doing that. But we were serious.
Mm.
Yeah.
By the way, so just for fun, these numbers are interesting. So it was only 10 months after its official launch, 18 months after the first video was ever posted, YouTube bought it for $1.6 billion, which at the time sounded like a lot of money. Their revenue this year, or just last year, which is the last recorded full revenue run, $28.8 billion in revenue last year. I think Google maybe got a deal, you know? They may not know
no
it.
Kidding.
Well, they probably know it. I'm sure they know it. But
I'm sure they know. They're like, brilliant. Whoever got in on that one early.
Yeah, sure. Pretty smart. Anyway, well, let's talk about some science. I didn't want to assume that you were going to talk about this meteor, I guess, that's coming past us next week. And if there's anything to bring up about that. But even if you didn't, do you know anything about that? Or is there anything to worry about? Are we supposed to do anything? Freak
I
out.
Know a little bit about it. There's nothing to worry about, but the asteroid that you're talking about, there is one that's passing. It's actually passing by its closest approach as we speak.
Oh,
it's like 50. It's like one and a half million miles away, which is six times the distance between the moon and the Earth, which on astronomical terms is pretty close. So that's why people think like when they make a big deal out of it is because they're saying like that's a pretty there's things passing by us all the time that are really really close. We should probably do a better job of monitoring all this stuff.
Is this one closer than the one that we shot a rocket at to kind of test our Armageddon?
Oh yeah,
practice?
Yeah.
Okay,
a lot closer.
Why didn't we wait for this one then? If this one was going to be closer,
yeah, it seems easier. I guess
it's actually an interesting question because there is a very deliberate reason they chose the it was a pair of asteroids that they shot the DART project at that you're talking about.
DART, that's right. Okay,
and it was the Deimos and something else were the name of the two, but it was a larger asteroid and then a smaller asteroid that was orbiting the larger one. And the reason they picked that is because A, it was really far away, so if they messed up, it wouldn't accidentally knock it into the Earth.
Mm. Oh, that's a very good point, right? You'd hate to go for the eight ball and scratch.
Right, exactly.
You know what they should have done? Yeah. They should have named that asteroid Tanagra. name the two missiles Darmok and Jalad, and then Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra is what they should have done, those dummies.
Yep.
Anyway, how did that did that actually yield anything? I never heard follow-up.
Yielded tons of data. It was super successful, that project, the DART mission. Very successful. Lots of data was gathered from that. The reason that they chose it is because a very small asteroid orbiting a larger asteroid has a very weak connection to system, like it's a very weakly connected system, but also very predictably connected, so they could calculate what they expected to happen and then easily measure whether what they expected to happen would happen, and they could gather really easy data from how much, like what size of a object do you need to crash into another object, what would happen, what would, you know, and stuff like that. So it was just easy to collect data from such a small set of things.
Interesting. And this thing that's passing us as we speak, if it were big enough it's not big enough to alter any any gravitational pulls or any of that, right?
No, it's not. But it's big enough to give everyone on Earth a bad day if it hit us.
Yeah, it'd be bad, right? Would it be an extinction level event size one or not?
I don't remember what the size ranges are for things like that, but it's very big. It's like 500, something like 500 meters across estimated, which is like
pretty
big as a skyscraper. Yeah.
Okay. Big enough to probably act like multiple numbers of nukes being set off or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It would certainly, I mean, I feel comfortable saying that if it hit the United States, that you could say goodbye to the United States, but
that'd be the end of it. Even the bunkers that we keep all our fancy people in, those wouldn't make it either. Probably
maybe not the whole country, but I don't know. I don't want to say too much because I don't have the numbers in front of me, because they have size ranges.
Because you have a good bunker. You just don't want people crashing
yeah.
in the bunker.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to talk too much about the bunkers. I'd rather people think that bunkers aren't a big thing.
Bunkers are ineffective.
Yeah, I've still got my spot on one of the bunkers, one of the Fallout bunkers.
Nice. But, well, all right. Well, no, forget about meteors for now. They're all good. They're all flying around and doing their thing. What great science have you brought with us today?
I just had a COVID update. I thought we would just talk about, just check in with COVID every once in a while.
What's
it's
the
still
new
there.
COVID?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's still around. It's still a pandemic. It's not quite endemic yet. Okay. Anyway. There's a couple of things to catch up on. First of all, you know about the new strain, BQ1. I know we talked about that last week, Scott, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
It's continuing to become dominant. They think that it's going to become the most dominant, the primary strain within the next few weeks, by the end of the year at least. So there's that. Mm-hmm. That's one thing you should know.
Yes.
They think that there's going to be a big new wave coming this winter. The White House is talking a lot about it. Biden's talking a lot about it, which is funny. Do you remember not too long ago he said the pandemic was over?
Oh yeah, yeah.
and now he was just sent out.
Dial that back a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. Then he just literally said this. That talked all about how this is not over. He said, What I don't like about what the White House is saying with the pandemic is they're focusing a lot on personal responsibility, which makes me uncomfortable. But and I know that everybody should get their vaccines and do what they can to prevent things. But I have trouble, and it makes me uncomfortable when people just try to put it on the individuals. And there's a lot we need to do.
Yeah,
probably. On
it's easy. It's an easy way to, like, part of me. I'm a big believer in personal responsibility and people doing
for
the right
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
But the problem with saying it at a level where power is at its peak,
yeah,
is that you are making a lot of assumptions about where people are, where their heads are at, what their economic status is. Like, you're kind of making it sound like everybody's at the exact same place and they're not. So I just don't think it's too blankety and easy. It's just too easy. It's an easy way.
Isn't it just a matter of we're saying, well, the people who do take personal responsibility will automatically go out and get the new vaccines, and the people who've been fighting this whole thing, it's not going to change if we just say, okay, take personal responsibility. That's not going to change their minds. So
right.
Why spend that? Why go to that effort, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so like, for example, Biden said this year, you know, this coming year, or he said this year, nearly every death is he's talking about upcoming death, because they predict that that we're likely, with this new wave, they're expecting between 30 and 70,000 deaths this winter.
Jeez, wow.
Which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but it is less than it was last winter, a lot less.
The hundreds of thousands that we had in 2020 and 2021, yeah.
Yeah, because that's like 350 deaths per day that they're predicting. That's the current level, right. And they're predicting that, and maybe up to 500 per day or something like that. But last winter, we were at like 11 or 1,200 a day. And that was at its lowest, right? Like sure. It's gotten even higher than that. So we're on the down trend, but yeah, we want there to be less death, certainly. But anyway, he said this year, nearly every death is preventable. He said that. And while that's technically true, it's like, yeah, we've been talking about how it's all preventable for a couple of years now, and that's not changing anything anymore. So yeah. maybe that's not the way we need to approach this.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But the way I look at it now is that there are not a lot of people on the fence. You either got the vaccine or you didn't. You either contributed to the problem or didn't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know how you're going to make any headway there. The headway you were going to make there happened in 2020 or 2021 early or something. But at this stage, I feel like this...
Into a void, sadly.
Well, the flags are planted, you know, wherever you planted you planted it. So I don't know.
No one's going to turn around and say, all right, you win.
Yeah. No one's going to do that. So since they're not going to do that, when do you call it endemic? When can that happen? Because can they
move that up? I'm glad you're asking that. There are some people in the chat who are also saying, I thought it was endemic. And I have certainly talked about how it's more or less, like experts are saying, it's more or less going to be endemic and whatnot. Technically, it's not technically endemic yet. It's still technically a pandemic. And that's because for it to be endemic, what it needs to be is there needs to be sort of a steady state. It's there and it's always kind of at a background level, and it's not on a large scale or even a small scale, but on some sort of level, it needs to not be spreading exponentially.
Right, like the flu levels.
Stop seeing death and hospitalizations at such a massive scale that we're seeing right now.
So like the flu, I guess what I'm saying is it possible that it will just have a higher rates across the board of both hospitalization, spread, and death, and still you can just raise the definition of endemic to match what the virus decides it is for the next 10 years? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
The definition of endemic may have to change a little, is what I mean.
The trouble is that there are sort of two definitions of endemic that people use. There's the technical like epidemiology definition of endemic, which is very technical, and it means that and it's on a local level. So you can have a virus that's endemic to a particular country or endemic to a particular continent, and it just means that. Do you remember talking about the R value early on in the COVID pandemic?
I do remember
The R value is this number that they give saying. What is it on average, any person who is infected, how many people are they going to give it to? So if you have an R value of 3, this virus has an R value of 3. That means if one person gets infected, they're likely to spread it to 3 people.
Right.
The reason I bring that up is because on an epidemiological level, endemic, one of the main features of an endemic virus is that the R value is 1, which means that if you get it, you're only going to pass it on to one person, and that's how it maintains a steady state. Because any R value higher than 1 means it's going to spread on some exponential level. And any R value less than 1 means it will eventually die out. So an R value of 1. That's the epidemiological definition. But we tend to use it in sort of a public health way and sort of a colloquial way. We tend to use endemic to mean that it's sort of just in the background. Now, the flu, you might be able to argue, is not endemic on a purely epidemiological level, at least at certain points in time, because when it's flu season, the R value of the flu, the influenza virus, is definitely more than 1. But then it also dies down eventually, and goes less than that, right? Sure. So it, on a larger scale, you think about it as endemic. And so yes, the definition of endemic really just means, if you want to just have an easy definition, it just means the virus has entered a steady state and things on some sort of larger scale are not changing, and it's just there doing what it does.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, that's where we're at. It has, you know, I've got some travel to do. Brian's got some travel to do. I'm really hoping we beat whatever wave is coming with this stupid travel. Whatever. I just don't want to see a bunch more death this year. It'd be real nice not to have that, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have some. You always have some. You're going to have flu deaths. I mean, the version of the flu Brian got would kill a 90-year-old. Like,
God, it was, people will die. It was horrendous especially compared to my COVID experience. It was,
yeah.
The flu knocked me out.
Yeah. So
plus side of all of this is that as long as like your good news on an individual level is that as long as you are getting your booster vaccines, and as long as you are, you know, paying attention to what you're doing and trying to be as careful as possible, like if we're in the middle of a wave, for example, just, you know, maybe wear masks when you go to the grocery store. As long as you're doing those little things, then COVID has gotten to the point where if you get it, you're probably going to be okay. And if you want to really hedge your bets, then if you get it, then see if you can get a prescription written for Paxlovid, which is the antiviral for COVID.
Right.
And that'll help too. And just do the smart things and you're fine. You're probably going to be able to live with it. I hesitate. And I keep saying probably because there are outside cases, which is why we want to get this under control, because that's not the same story for everybody. There are people out there who are still dying from this, of course.
Yeah.
And so we want to encourage everybody to do the right thing in order to help those people. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you've gotten your booster and that's what you can do. When another one comes out at some point, you get that one and you're doing what you can do.
How soon do you think, just to kind of finish things up here, how soon do you think we start to see mRNA technology in other stuff like flu shots? Maybe it already is. I don't know. But is that stuff on the way?
It wasn't in this flu season. It just might have been a little too early. People were focused on doing that with COVID. But there's no telling anytime now. I would suspect probably next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they at least don't start messing with experimenting and figuring it out, because it's a very good in technology that's easy to implement once you've identified the mRNA strain that you're going to use. So and we know so much about the flu that it doesn't seem like it should be too hard. It's just they need to do it. And I think we're getting to the point, if my guess is that we're getting to the point where that's going to be any time now.
All right. I'm down with it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're already experimenting with this technology in lots of different places. It's just, when are we consumers and just regular old people going to start seeing it?
Yep. Regular old people. That's what I call myself now.
I'm an irregular old person.
Yeah, well, you know, more fiber, Brian.
They make Metamucil for that. Yeah.
Yeah. You just need fiber. Well, Bobby, always a pleasure having you on and talking about this stuff. Tell people where they can find more science coverage and news from you.
Well, I've got the All Around Science podcast that you guys can listen to every week. We talk about science-y news stuff. This past week, the episode that just came out yesterday, we talked about, it was Halloween yesterday, so we talked about the science of fear and why we're afraid of things and why we like to be, why we seek out things that are scary and stuff like that.
Nice. That sounds great. It's All Around Science, and you can get that wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
Bobby, you have a great day. May your mustache never fail, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye.
See you, Bobby.
All right. Glad he was willing to share.
Bobby, do you want this stuff in the trunk or not?
My mustache is cutting checks or whatever. It's pretty great.
My mustache has been waiting for you for half an hour. I just got here myself, but
Oh, I'd love a mustache that got there before me. That'd be great.
Yeah. By the way, yeah. Here we are 2 weeks after my accidental overshave, and
yeah, looking good.
Almost back to normal. Yeah. Back to about the way I like it.
You take about as long as I do. I'm afraid to cut this because it's going to take me forever to get this back if I cut it. So I'm gonna hang on to it for a while. See if I can.
All that work with the Just for Men brown dye shampoo. Damn it.
Yeah.
I have to start over.
Now you got
to
start over. That's right. Robert from Hendertucky would like to start over an email here he sent in.
Okay.
This is, he calls this the final solution. That's not a term you want to use lightly.
It's a term, maybe.
Yeah, I guess maybe we're taking it back. I don't know. But anyway, Robert says, the smoke detector issue, dear Scott and Brian, is not difficult to solve. I use a little thing called a calendar event. In this case, I use my birthday as the day, and I change the smoke detector battery in the house on every smoke detector. And then I go get the old finger up the bum. It's like happy birthday, grab a ladder, and bend over all in one day.
It's you know, if you get up on that ladder high enough to change the battery, then you could probably get both things done at once.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go to my doctor on my birthday for the finger up the bum.
Yeah, no.
Whatever.
Hard pass.
Anyway, it says even a cheap battery will last a year. It makes more sense to schedule battery replacement than to have the smoke detector industry redesign and the beep remind you to do what you were already supposed to have done. Knowing that you will hate chasing down the beep at 3 a.m., which is more annoying, replacing one battery at 3 a.m. or replacing all of them in the middle of the day after you've had cake and a finger up your bum. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy hearing you two noodle on the detector technology industry, especially like the idea of having a voice talk to you before the battery would die. Y'all know what else you can talk about? At a scheduled time, a calendar event.
No. You know what else can talk to you?
You at a scheduled time, yeah. A calendar event. Lick a battery, yo, Robert from Hendertucky.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you do it at the daylight savings time, that's the ideal, right? Just daylight savings time, change all the batteries. Boom, you're done. No worries.
Yep. And I hope, Robert, every time you get the finger, that it all is good in there. I hope that all works
angel
out.
Angel gets its wings.
Yeah, that's what I hope. All right, real quick, Patreon shout out to a brand new patron, Richard Jakubowski. I think is right. Richard, welcome to the show. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a brand new month, people. November 1st means it's time to get in, get all the great benefits, including no commercials ever, pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits that aren't listed here because it's too much to explain. You can go find it all at patreon.com/TMS for yourself. Sign up today and become like him and all you great patrons. You guys are the best. For everything else you're looking for, you'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS. That is it. Brian, let's get out of here. I need a song, though. Can't go without it.
Yeah, I got a song. And today, not tied to a request. Now, yesterday was Halloween, Scott. Do you know what that makes today?
Makes today All Hallowed Out. I don't know.
So close. All Saints Day. Today is All Saints Day. So it's the eve of Hallows Day or Hallowmas or All Saints Day. And so I thought, well, let's celebrate with that second-rate Spice Girls band, All Saints, and a cover that they did for a really cool Burt Bacharach tribute concert called One Amazing Night. This actually had a bunch of great musicians and Mike Myers, for some reason, doing a cover of What's New Pussycat, doing a cover of a song that a lot of people, at least a lot of people our age, might connect with a band called Naked Eyes. From the 80s. Always something there to remind me. Originally, a Burt Bacharach song. And this cover is more like the original than it is the Naked Eyes version. So here are All Saints joining Burt Bacharach for a cover of Always Something There to Remind Me.
Sounds great. See you guys tomorrow.
Walk along those city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. How can I forget you?
should find you miss the sweet and tender love we used to share. Just go back to the places where we used to go, and I'll be there. How can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I've tasted your borscht.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.